Yes, we're back. Keep the ball on the ground. With William Hill, Black Rooster. Some celebrity gossip this week for yous boys.
Aye.
Postlane's now Birds of Celebrity.
Is she?
Yeah.
Sonia from EastEnders.
Sonia!
Go on, tell us about through Dean Gaffney, wasn't it?
Through Dean Gaffney, obviously with I'm a Celebrity stuff side, Dean Gaffney done that and I thought it was great on it. So me and Sonia met through that and we're taking things further and obviously now Michelle McManus has been put to the back burner. So it won't be working, but me and Sonia are really looking good. Si.
Enjoying the celebrity lifestyle?
I love it, that's what I'm all about. Si. But what I must say is about my weekend, si. Something came through the door and it's going to change Glasgow forever.
Wow.
My provisional.
Yes!
No way! That's brilliant. So it's come through, but I've passed my theory twice, Si.
Yeah.
And it's ran out twice. Oh, because the amount of time. So this time, Si, I need to take it serious. I've already now on the market looking for a wee smart car. Si, oh, just yes. 2 seats for me and wee Willie. So it'll be safe. Yeah,
can you get the baby seat in the smart
car? Wee baby seat in the front seat, so it'll be beautiful.
Kev, how's your weekend, mate? Good?
Aye, it was actually, the wife and kids were away for the weekend, so I was home alone, so just two. Two things of golf and two.
Is that what you call it, golf?
Aye, and I was working.
Hey, the big club.
I had the big dog. Big dog was it?
The big driver.
Here, Slane, I forgot to ask you about your provisional. On a serious note, right? How many times did you sit in the booth taking that photo for the provisional?
Oh, it's horrible. But what I didn't know is I was sitting. No, this isn't trying to be funny here. I was sitting in the booth, right? It's got booth for a while. Yeah, but I was sitting in there for ages. I was like, where are the pictures? But the pictures, you need to go outside to get them. So I was waiting for the pictures to come outside for ages and they were outside. So no good enough for Scott Booth. A man I certainly don't believe is a man.
Big question is, did you wear makeup?
A makeup once, I always do it. I remember I did makeup for all the live shows as well. I must say, when you've got a bumpy face, you must adapt.
What weekend, Si?
Oh, mate, you got an absolute doing.
I'm surprised at that, Si. Surprised at that.
I actually could have been 15 nil. It was bad. They were decent, to be fair, Ray.
You did say that.
Boy, Regan Henry that left Celtic, he was tremendous, middle of the pitch.
I was surprised at it because I did fancy Rafe to sneak it.
Oh, thanks very much.
No, at all, Si. But with you, he's been sort of hard
Not to crack.
To score against in to four, but I think when Wang is in, it can sort of be the free fall of your team, Si.
We need you in. We need Slane in.
There's a lot of teams.
I'm crying out for a winger, mate.
Oh,
a horny
I've
winger.
Actually, to be fair, I've actually been missing the buzz of playing. I've seen a few boys playing it certainly the other weekend. How they are still playing football, Si, is beyond me. So I'll maybe get the boots back on. Who knows?
Will you? Absolutely not.
Nah, no chance.
Right, Kev, we need to come to you first, mate, because your old team are stinking. Angry mob outside Tynecastle. How bad are things for Hearts at the moment?
I think they're really bad. Like, I know it's only the start of the season. What are we, 5-6 games in or something?
Uh-huh.
But it's just not looking like it's going to get any better. Because I don't think Motherwell were decent, but they're not that decent that Hearts should be getting beat at home from Motherwell. It should be. But to be fair, Craig Levein.
Should he go, Kev? Let's just get to the nitty gritty.
I don't ever like to see any managers lose their jobs, but ultimately, I like to say that word quite a lot.
Absolutely. You keep saying it, you bite
the door. I think there needs to be a change. There needs to be a change somewhere within the club to make the club move forward, because they've been doing the shit. They've got relegated and Budge's come in racing. They've built this new stand. The club on the outside looks brilliant, but on the inside, it's an absolute shambles. For Craig Levein to come out and say that they're 6 points off fourth.
Wow.
That's bad enough in itself, but when you dissect that comment, is fourth acceptable for Hearts Football Club? Is that where he's aiming for?
Mm.
Fourth? Because if I was playing with Hearts, I certainly wouldn't be thinking fourth. I'm thinking third, mm-hmm. second. Why not? Because let's be honest about it. We've watched Celtic dominate football for the last 98 years, trebles, whatever you want to call it, and then Rangers are clawing their way back. But after that last Old Firm performance, Rangers aren't any great shakes. Why can our teams no challenge Rangers for a second? So for me, that comment is basically something that is a bit of a smokescreen. The fact that I spoke to a former manager, I'll not tell you which one it was.
Gary Locke.
But he kind of dressed up quite simply that when Levein became a director, he employed Robbie Nielsen, who he basically could control, Then he employs Carter, who he can control. Then he thinks, right, okay, they two have made a farce, so I'll step in and save the club and make things better. He stepped in and it's not happened. So it just seems to me that he's got a lot of control from top right to bottom, and he comes across with some of the comments on Saturday that he is actually untouchable. So I think Hearts fans have got the right to protest because they want to see their club do well on their Saturday. I think they've got a good squad. I think some of their aging players aren't they quite cutting it just now. I think defensively.
Names.
I think big Christoph Beyer's not been performing as well as what he would like to be performing.
I think he dips that gum shield in vodka before every game, isn't he?
Dips
absolutely waste, man.
And the young boy Halkett, who they've signed in from Livingston, who's had a great season last year, he's still nailing the game. So for me, and obviously an injury to Stevie Naismith is a bad, bad blow, but who gives a guy a 34 years old a 4-year deal?
That's ridiculous.
With injury
Charlie
history,
ridiculous.
Great
Charlie,
player.
That's
not right. And I think also as well, when you're struggling as a first team manager, sometimes you need a strong number two, just to give you maybe...
Is McPhee a strong number two?
I don't think is McPhee?
See, listen, regardless with McPhee, regardless if he's brilliant, and I'm going to cut your hair. I'm sick of looking at that. I am absolutely sick of you. You look like a tramp on the side of the pitch. And let me just say, I'm actually going to stick up for Craig Levein. I think he's...
You like him, don't you?
I think he's a great man, and I'm petrified of him. But what I would say is, he has to go, Si. Craig Levein must go. He must leave the door. I was in LA the last time they went on a good run. It was the start of last season. They've no done anything
since. Were people talking about it in LA?
Craig Levein was a big talking point earlier. He's got to go. Craig Levein must leave Hearts. His time's up. His time's certainly up. They need fresh faces. As Kev said, we don't like seeing jobs. People leave their jobs. You've got to go. That's the life. But that's it. So I said that. There's only one man for the job. And I've heard you saying Gary Locke wrong.
Barry Locke
or Gary Lick, whatever you want to call him, do not bring that man in. There's only one man for the job, and I believe he's going to get it. Feed the frail, Stevie Frail.
Feed the frail.
And I tell you why. So I don't.
What will feed him?
No, but
raw meat, ribs.
So I don't just think I've said feed the frail there because it goes. I'm saying it for the fact. Certainly feed him, because I remember at Celtic he was a great coach, Stevie Frail, and he was up in lunch every day before anybody with a massive bucking big massive plate, a massive big plate, and Lenny said to him, Stevie, one day you must stop that, you wait for the players to eat. And the next day Stevie Frail come up with a salad, and do you know what, Si? See, since that day I looked at Stevie Frail and he deteriorated in front of my eyes, Si. You must feed him. So when you go to Hearts, Feed the man. Give him full fat. And no,
give him full fat.
Full fat at Iron Brew. Give him whatever he wants. He'll become the man. And not only I believe he's going to get the job, he believes he's going to get the job. Because I tell you why. He sent me a selfie, Stevie Frail, the other day. He was in his Hearts trackie already with a full fat can of Iron Brew. And do you know what? Newt was singing the Holy Frail.
Oh, man. Guys, Stephen Naismith is the ringer of Goldust for WWE.
Stephen Naismith, a little ghost.
Right, listen, faced by an angry mob, Hearts. You ever been faced by an angry mob in your life, Kev, in your career?
Aye, a few times.
Whereabouts?
Doing in Sunderland. Maybe no fans. When we stayed in the youth team hostel, I've said this before, at the weekends we would be left on our own, me and the five Republic Ireland boys, because all the English boys would go home. So one night they came in looking for a fight, and the Irish boy Shane went, Coyler, we'll do them. And I was like, all right, okay, I'm up for that. So we chased after them, right? Five of us, about 20 of them. So as they stopped to confront us after us chasing them, I turned around for backup, my mates had disappeared. I was left, so I was confronted by an angry mob. Obviously, I dealt with it. Absolutely shat myself and ran like fuck, as fast as I've ever done. But and Sunderland being relegated a few times, confronted with very...
What, fans after a game outside the stadium, innit?
Absolutely. I remember a guy saying to me, right, Big Kev, all the best for next season, and put his hand out to me, and he went, why the fuck would I shake your hand? You're all fucking shite. And I was like, all right, okay, mate, sorry. And you just, it is what it is. And then obviously my time at Coventry wasn't the most pleasant, and I was confronted by an angry mob basically every home game. Because I said a few things about the fans, and rightly so, and I stick by that comment. But I got confronted by them on many occasions. It can be nice for Craig Levein, but ultimately
he needs to stop being a jelly.
He needs to. The the players need to step up first and foremost. But if they're not getting anything back from the management,
but they've got good players, haven't they?
Ah, they've got a decent squad. Like, yeah. They're as good a squad as any, but they're just no performing on the park, and obviously going away from the park, things only happen in the training ground that's reflecting a difference on the park. So they need to change a full circle. And because Hearts are a huge club, great club, in the cup final last year, but it just looks like they were there to participate. No,
us who are here to take over. Aye, Slaney, exactly. Angry Mob, ever faced one?
Angry Mob, sorry, I've ever faced one.
Birds,
certainly when I came back from Amsterdam, when there was a pack of people waiting on me, fuming at me, and I walked by them, exactly. But the Angry Mob, they're right to be angry at heart, but certainly I've not really, as you know, I don't really face Angry Mobs, because as I've always said, I'll speak behind people's backs every single day of the week, but when I see them face to face, I'll suck up to them and say they're brilliant. I say, I live my life, and I'll continue to live it like that.
I don't know if it counts as an Angry Mob, but Adam Virgo used to get very angry when there was no chips at lunch.
I played with Adam Burger. I can fully understand.
See, in training, I wonder what's for lunch today. Lads, come just play football, mate.
He's up there with the boringest guy I've ever met.
Ah, he's alright. DiCario as well, mate. We played Oxford. Swindon, Oxford, it was, mate. You didn't think it's a big derby, and then it was like absolute angry mobs outside waiting for you coming in. So the Polos came in after the game, they beat us, and there was a big mob meeting for us outside, and the Polos have gave us a big chat saying, like, you need to be calm, like, just walk by them, get on the bus, and up the road you just go. So the canny was telling us, be very, very, very calm. Mate, he goes out first, right? We come out about 5 minutes later, mate, and he's fucking giving them the V sounds and all on the bus. Getting them a doos up, mate, absolute madman. Right, Hearts as well for me, Kev. Watch the highlights. Now, Craig Levine is a good manager. Why is he playing Glenn Whelan in a 2 in midfield? Glenn Whelan is slower than Adam Virgo's metabolism. He needs to play in a 3, man. Why is he playing Glenn Whelan in a 2 in midfield at 35-year-old? I watched the highlights and Motherwell just totally overran the middle of the park.
That's the thing with Glenn Whelan's he's a baller. You give him the ball, he keeps it, he dictates play.
Put two dogs in front of him.
Let him dictate what the two in front of him do rather than him doing all the running. I just don't understand what... Like when they got Glenn Whelan, although he's 35, I'm thinking, what a great signing that is. It's not just his experience that he brings to the club for the young players and everything. He was a Premiership footballer his whole life, an international. Is he not just done like 100 caps with Ireland or something? So to be playing him in that position, it's just not going to work. But is that Craig Levein accommodating other people in the team when really should just say, look, it's not happening. You do it. I'm bringing in somebody else. I see they sent the young boy Harry Cochrane out on loan as well. So I don't know. It's just it's a strain. I think when you're under pressure, you'll try everything. And what he's trying isn't working regardless of.
I actually really, honestly, I genuinely mean it. I really do love Craig Levein. I really do.
See, boys that play for him, right? We are boys that I know that have played him. They love him, eh?
I know, and that's why I'm saying, like, I've actually heard boys saying that he's actually. There's no bullshit with him. And I think we all appreciate that, but I think it's just his time's up. So it's certainly no working. I think, as you said, Whelan in the middle, he's now clutching at straws.
How much are managers' media comments picked up by the players? You ever had a manager say something in the media and then the players are all jump on it?
Aye. I've not actually seen it myself, but certainly I know players are fuming. I've been walked in the Monday morning and the papers lying there and the boys say, I'm going to go and pull the manager. So it does happen.
But what he said then.
So I think you've been at full time a lot longer than me, so it'd be good to hear what your side of things are.
Mate, the best one was, right, remember, Wes, the Rangers goalie? Wes Foden. So we played Preston and DiCario took him off after like 12 minutes or something, or 15 minutes, and Wes got a train up the road. So again, after the game, he's shouting, fuck it, I'll kill him. I'll kill Wes, he's done.
Because
Wes came off and shouted at him when he took him off. So DiCario told him to get a train of him or he was going to kill him. So after the game, he's like, we keep this in-house, lads, again. Nothing gets out. I'll speak to Wes on Monday. So we get on the bus, mate, and he's taking ages doing an interview. Obviously, everyone's want to ask about what he's done with Wes. So we're sitting on the bus, mate, and his interview comes up breaking. We're watching it, and he's caring Wes, mate. After telling us he's going to keep it on, he's like, we're not talking about Peter Cech or Valdez. We're talking about League One Wes. League One. He plays in League One. Mate, after that, mate, we were in stitches. So for about a month, man, every time Wes came in the morning, we were like, League One Wes, what's happening, mate? Tremendous. Kev, what about you?
Oh, no, I just think when managers sometimes say things to butter things up and maybe to try and protect their players, I think that's maybe what Craig Levein's trying to do. But realistically, sometimes you just need to tell it how it is.
Kev, I wanted to ask you last week, regarding the one with Roy Keane. See Mick McCarthy? You played under him, didn't you? What would that see him in, with him and Roy Keane with Ireland? Did Mick McCarthy have that in him? He stand up to Roy Keane? Oh, now, I don't know what I'm trying to... I'm just trying to, for you to paint this picture a wee bit for me, the type of guy Mick McCarthy was.
No, Mick...
What a question! Oh, leave the questions to me, young man, all right?
What is that?
What the fuck was that?
The thing with Mick McCarthy...
Wait, do you understand the question yet?
I don't get it, man.
What I was watching, I was like, who was to blame? Was it Roy Keane or McCarthy? Would Mick McCarthy ever end up for him to be blamed?
So what you're trying to say is from last week, Roy Keane basically criticised everything about things that he could do. Uh-huh. So what happened from my knowledge of it is that when Mick was the captain of Ireland back in the day, Roy was just a young player. Turned up on the bus late, allegedly. Allegedly. So Mick said to him, how you? Get your fucking finger out or something. So then 15, 20 years down the line, when they're away to Saipan, was it Saipan, whatever it was, the training facilities were poor, allegedly. Yeah. So Roy's come on and he's basically had a hump with Mick ever since that. But when he would say what he'd say, Mick would just be Mick. Mick wouldn't publicise what he said to Roy, but Mick definitely would not have sat down and not have said something. Because Mick would say, I remember when years ago when I got into a bit of trouble, I had to go back to Sunderland on the Monday morning and say to Gaffer, look, Gaffer, something happened at the weekend. A guy was winding me up and I banjoed him, and he was like, fucking hell, Kyler, what am I going to do with you? And I was like, he says, see the other week when we're out for a team night out, he says, we're in that restaurant in Yarm. And I was like, aye. He says, well, a guy tapped me in the shoulder and says, oh, Mick, Roy's on the phone. He says, what do you think I wanted to do to him? Oh, and I thought, wow. All right. He says, I bit my lip and I walked away. He says, that's what you need to learn to do, son. And that was it. Mm-hmm. So just experience.
Did Mick McCarthy ever slaughter you in the press, Kev?
No, never. He was that type of guy that he would come in after the game and he would stand there and absolutely roar at the shit of you to the point that you were like trembling, you were nervous. You're thinking, no, please don't speak to you. You know, when they go around each player and think, oh, don't come to me. And he said, you know what the fucking worst thing about it is? And Peter Reid was the same, by the way. They were kind of saying, you know what the worst thing is? I've got to go here now and defend you.
Aye.
He says, and I will defend you because I believe in you. Yeah. And he'd go and he'd say, he would bottle up, he would take all the shit. So maybe Craig Levine, there's a bit of that's happening there with Craig Levine. He's maybe, so... Like I said at the beginning, I don't like to see anybody sacked. I just think Hearts need a change of something. Is it maybe bringing another coach? Is it maybe bringing somebody that might help?
But we were saying that about last week about Gerrard. We talked about the players. I seen Man City and Guardiola. He said about Stones. Do you see what I mean?
I never blamed them, did he?
Came out in the press and said, they're brilliant. They've won me leagues. That's the difference what I said about Gerrard. Mm-hmm. So people coming at me saying, I was wrong, don't be so stupid.
Guardiola's on your level, isn't he?
The level of that. And I must say again with Steven Gerrard, he clearly listened to the podcast last week because he played with Morelos and two wingers and he won the game. So Gerrard, just thank me. Email,
has he
message,
thanked you? Anything?
No, disrespectful. So I'll constantly be on him.
But see if a manager came out and slaughtered you, slain in the press, would you go and see him or would you absolutely crumble?
I would phone every single member of the team. I would phone the assistant and slaughter him, and then I would go into the manager's office and say, you were totally right to say that to me. No, but certainly, I think for a manager to come out in the press and say that, it's humiliation.
Do you think? I didn't bother, eh? The canon used to do it to me all the time. I didn't care.
Oh, did you know?
No, I think
it's players.
I like to know what the manager's like.
Would that not bother you?
That wouldn't bother us,
no. No, the players, I wouldn't mind. If you said to me, my big number nine was shite on Saturday, but I'll get... Like, that's fine, at least you know. He's not trying to hide it. And sometimes players go away thinking, well, the gaffer said this in the paper, so I did all right. You get a false impression of what's really going on because players sometimes don't want to believe they're not performing. But anyway.
Uh-huh. Right, Barry Locke seems to be the fans' choice for the job going on social media. I think John Robertson will get it for Inverness.
They've been doing really well, Inverness.
You're backing your
John
man,
Robbie,
Stevie.
John
Robbie,
shite the bus, is that?
Shite the bus.
I don't know if he's the man for the job. But Gary Locke was lovely to meet when I met Gary Locke. Do I believe he's big enough for Hearts? No, I don't think so. I believe he was inferior to me. He looked intimidated by me. And every time he looked at me and he shake my horn, his fingers were shaking. So Gary Locke is not... No, I like Gary Locke. I love him to get a job.
You've been a Hearts legend. Who you want to see? Who would you like to see?
I would like... There is obviously a lot of candidates, but see somebody like Gary Locke, and the only reason I say Gary, it's not because he's a friend or anything, I just think that Gary Locke knows what it means to play for Hearts. He's a Hearts supporter.
I know, but so does Craig Levein.
I know, but is he? And I just think that Lockie was a right good coach, by the way. Even he was under Jim and Billy at Kilmarnock. He obviously was still a player, but he took a lot of the training. His training facilities, his training ideas were brilliant. Even at Hearts, and he helped. The boys used to look forward to Lockie's training session because he wasn't to say he was different to anybody else. He just made the sessions fun and enjoyable.
I could be in.
Wee job for the Kyler. Wow, striker coach.
Unbelievable.
That would be too big for me. But I would, if Hearts came calling, I would certainly run there.
Would you? Wow. Oh, you would leave open goal?
Oh no, wow. Not a chance.
The Stranraer's returns to Edinburgh.
No, I just think there's a lot of candidates, and John Robertson's doing really well.
And they play good
but
football.
But sometimes,
what is it Hearts fans want? Do they want a manager that's going to come in and change the way they play, or do they just want to win games?
I think they want to see a better style of play on the
park. So, right?
I think so, because
but see with Tynecastle, I don't think they suit playing nice football.
So tight, innit?
I think so tight.
But you say so tight, see when you actually play there, it's a big park. It just seems tighter. It's just because of the stands, but again, it's one of those things, like, it boils down to sometimes the pitch and the fans and everything that comes with the club, sometimes it's too much for a player.
No, you're right.
Let's not beat about the bush. Some of these players are coming from League One, 3,000-4,000 fans a week, yeah. League Two, whatever. They're coming up from England, and all of a sudden they're in front of 20,000, 25,000 passionate fans who really care about their side.
Raj bastards, uh-huh.
Right.
What was I going to say though? Cathro will try to come in and play football. I always think of Hearts as being high tempo.
Hearts have always had a big number nine who dictated the games and they played to their strengths, whereas they've got the big boy Uche up here.
I like him.
He wants to be more a dribbler than a number nine.
He thinks he can dribble, man. My two-year-old dribbles better for him.
Oh, wow. I'd love to see a wrestling match with you two.
Who, me and Big Uche?
I'd
throw the first punch, right, and see if he didn't flinch, I'd run away.
He would die.
Right, we're going to the next Edinburgh club, Hibs. Another loss to Kelly, 2-0. See Stephen O'Donnell's assist by
him.
He's never got that in his life.
And the boys said it was the manager, John Higginbottom's come out and said it was a long punt.
Punt, that's a great pass.
All right, listen, John Higginbottom, I don't know why you don't just pack your suitcase and then go, son. You've been, mouses don't win football matches. You certainly ain't going to keep your job. You and Levine are out. There you go, son.
By the way, he's definitely been on the sunbeds, eh?
What is
12 minutes, he's looking very brown.
Do you know what it's strange, though, when see, last year, he actually did do really well when he came in, didn't he? He actually sort of got them going, but what it seems to be
happening... It's as if the summer break has kind of killed him.
Yeah.
It's as if the mountains died, and then, again, I'll go back to the arena that Hibs and Hearts bring to a football match. This is probably the first time that group of players under Higginbottom are actually getting a wee bit of stick. Are they dealing with it well? I don't think they are. Mm. So when that happens, we talked about it last week and in my group message about players hiding, no wanting the ball, is that's what happened at Hibs? Because these managers don't become bad managers overnight, but players certainly can become a wee bit more anxious overnight.
I don't think the players like him. Eh?
No, I don't like him. I don't think that. I think as a successful manager, you must have a fear factor in the right way. I was thinking this the other day about, I don't know if it's the right word, Si,
right.
Fear, because... But I don't know another word for it. I really don't. I was thinking the other day, every manager I felt...
Respect?
Every manager I felt that I thought was brilliant
good.
It was
like,
I always remember it when the manager wasn't out in training yet and the standard was good, it was fine, but when he came out, everybody just changed. There was a lift in the place, or he walks into a room, and I think every top manager and successful manager has that side to him.
And do you know how Paul Higginbottom's got that?
No, I don't think so, Si. As I said, I believe he's a mouse. I don't believe he's a man for the job. As I said, mice don't win matches.
Mice don't win matches.
Listen, I don't know the man. I don't know the man. I don't think he's got the presence.
Can I say something to him? And I've got pals that play for Hibs, but they didn't like Lenny. They didn't like Higginbottom. I mean, what manager does this? Who do they want?
Can he win it?
You know what I mean? Like, you can't keep hiding behind managers. There's got to be a time.
That's then obviously clear.
But that's what annoys me about football. It's always managers that get the point. You never see the players getting
It's that the whole Lennon thing with shouting at a player and the player reporting them and blah, blah, blah. That's scandalous. And obviously, it looks like this is going to be happening again. So sometimes it's good for a platform like ours to highlight that, because then the real fans get to understand what's really going on, because, like, say, Heckey's taking stick, Levine's taking stick, they don't know what's actually really going on. But if players don't like the manager, they're not going to be trying, are they?
No, I don't know.
There comes a point when you're getting beat 1-0 and 2-0 when you think, oh fuck it, are you going to really dig deep and try and get your team back to 2-2?
Well, I seen the boy Sean Clare for Hearts, and that was absolutely disgusting what he done to Craig Levein, that last goal. Did you see that?
But he was playing right back, mate.
I totally agree that he shouldn't have been a right back, but that mistake was disgusting. Popping the goalie then going around him, it was an absolute
By the way, just on that, Motherwell are looking very good, by the way.
I'm surprised. I'm not the biggest fan of the Motherwell manager, but they have seemed started really well.
Mate, are you a fan of any manager? What manager do you
expect? I'm only fans of top managers, say, or managers I believe that I'll suck up to that they can get me in the club and just meet the players, and I don't really
do you know what you've been very quiet on, we've not heard you speak about for a while? Boca. How are things over there?
I don't know if I can admit this. I sent an email out. I tried to leave them go out to Boca again and they rejected me. They rejected me. The parents, it came down to the parents, they didn't want me back. No, I don't know why. So I sent the email out and he says we've done a wee green poll and we've done that. And certainly they've not came back. So Boca's
so is a love affair with Boca over?
I believe it could come back. I don't know. So I need to speak to him and speak to the parents. I don't know what's all been said. I believe there's people spreading rumours. Is Johnny Sunderland travelling out to Boca to put my name in mud? I believe he's got that in him. So we'll take it for there. But certainly my love affair will never drop for that club side.
Somebody says there was too many similarities with B. Tevez. Right. Right.
Oh,
Kev, Kelly beat Hibs, another one of your old teams. Is Alessio turning it in? Your man Alessio.
I think I apologise to him because
we do a wee slaughtered. We have slaughtered everyone, haven't we?
I think there's a trend here. We slaughter teams and stop performing. So see in a few weeks' time, Hibs and Hearts will be fucking flying.
Yeah, see before we go in, see the first podcast we done. We absolutely slaughtered the boy Tammy Abraham and the boy Mason Mount.
Flying.
Playing the league.
He has, he's done well. And please for Kilmarnock, because I think even the Kilmarnock fans are a wee bit worried at the beginning of the season as to how things were going to turn out. But he's turned it around well. And I've not really watched much of their games in depth, so I don't know what type of football they're playing. But they're getting results, and it's a results-based business. And the fans will be happy, because when Steve Clark left, the saving grace, as they say, he's went from one extreme to the absolute other. But no, Kilmarnock's doing well. And to go to beat teams like Hibs, a couple of years ago, you would think that's a straightforward Hibs. But it's just not like that. The league's changing.
Well, you think Hearts and Hibs will have new managers before the
time? That's what I'm going to say. See this Eddie Medard, this is the first time I want both of them to lose. Aye. I want both. I think if Levein gets beat, he'll go.
Who goes? Hibs manager if he goes? Is it the
Stevie Frill?
Is it the return of the Mixu?
Mixu Patalainen.
I'll tell you a story about Mixu Patalainen,
right? Big foot Stephen Fletcher. See when Big Fletcher wanted to do it. I've told you that. See when Big Fletcher wanted to do it. Hibs. Like Fletch can be a horrible guy, man. And like, seeing Scotland train, if you like crossed the ball over his head during games, mate, he would just catch it and boot it away. Right, but anyway, so Fletch is wanting to get out of Hibs, and we came in after the game. I think him and Mixu got on that well, and Andy McNeil was the goalie, and Mixu started screaming at Andy McNeil, you're forward or something like that, and Big Fletch to them, and it's not his fault, it's his fault, pointing to somebody else, and Big Mixer goes to Fletch, shut up Stephen, I'm on the side, I watched the game, and Big Fletch turns to him and goes, aye, you watch the fucking game like that, and put his hands over his eyes. So for that story alone, there's no way Mixer can get back in.
I seen Big Stevie Fletcher scored at the weekend. Why has he not been called up to Scotland?
It baffles me. I've told you, we were speaking the other day. For me, Fletch would be in the Scotland squad now.
Especially
as a lone striker,
Scotland,
mate. He's best at Scotland.
It's the way we play. Like, if there's anybody who's going to hold a ball, it'll be him. And if we do get a decent cross into the box at some point during the game, he'll attack it. Whereas I don't think the other two.
But see, that angry boys like McBurney, that they can learn off of Fletcher. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I don't know.
Right, okay, so Alessio, will they finish top six, Kelly?
I think they'll finish top six,
aye. See, the thing as well, outside the managers, Kelly have got good players, eh?
They've got good
players. See, Power in the middle of the pitch, and Dicker, Gary Dicker. Good players, eh, to me.
Gary Dicker's like a, he's like a man possessing that midfield. He gets a boot. He, and who would he call the Irish boy that's beside
Alan
him?
Alan Power.
Alan
very
Power.
Good.
Aye.
Hibs, I would take
they
to.
They know their role in the game and they don't try and complicate things. They just, they stick to what they know and it works. And no, they've got a good score. We, I think we probably forecasted that they would finish bottom six after their bad start. But
to be fair,
the way Hibs... Hibs and Hearts are no performing. Aberdeen are no performing to their capabilities. No. So can Kilmarnock finish top six again? Absolutely.
How could you not finish top six in that league? My goodness.
Aye.
Is Dale McInnes under pressure?
He's struggling. No, I don't think he's under pressure, but
Aberdeen fans are very critical on me. See, Twitter and stuff like that have very.
They have really. I'm surprised they're struggling, Aberdeen. I did see it last year that I think Derek McInnes has got to go for his end. He's been here too long. There's nothing else he can do. He's been to cup finals. Roger's seen him off, but he said there's only so much you can do. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I believe he's got to go for his end. He should go.
So we want five managers sacked.
But I think, I believe that, listen, again, I keep saying it, we said, feed the frail, well, why not eat the ick and bring it back to Aberdeen?
Eat the ick.
Oh, man. Right, Slane, I'm going to start with you this one as well. Rangers against Livingston on Saturday. You think that Willie Collins out to get you a mate?
Well, let me just say this. People might be disappointed. That the full thing with Willie Collum has been a big charade. It's been a big joke and a laugh, entertainment, nothing serious. Now Willie Collum's crossed the line. You've crossed the line, Willie, and I want to meet you now, seriously. one of my best mates in the game, probably my best mate, Nicky Devlin. Scott Booth said he wasn't good enough for Stenhouse Muir. That sums up Scott Booth. It was embarrassing for him. But anyway, we move on for that. But regarding Nicky Devlin, he scored a great goal at Ibrox and Willie Collum chopped it off.
Wow.
And Nicky asked him, why was it chopped off? And he mumbled, it's Slaney's fault. So, he's new crossed the line. No word to lie, he's new crossed the line. Chopped off somebody's goal at Ibrox, not acceptable. So, Willie Collum, next podcast, next week.
Get him on.
Come on. It's going to be live show.
There's a plea for you.
Willie Collum, and we'll sort this out.
Man to baby.
Certainly, Si, he has crossed the line. It was a fantastic goal.
But he also gave Livingston a penalty.
So it was great, Willie Collum. But regarding that, Si, we keep going on about Scotland having to get a right back. Nicky Devlin's the best right back in the country.
Wow.
He really is. He's certainly a great man. He actually reminds me of Khabib. The UFC fighter in the football game. I've never seen strength like him. I've never seen ability like a right back.
I thought you stopped drinking during the week. Right, Nicky Devlin, is that your Nicky in the Scotland
squad? That's not a pal, Zach. Nicky Devlin is fantastic. I watched the Rangers game on Saturday. It was excellent again. Ryan Kent had to come off because Nicky Devlin was far too good for him. So we talk about that, but I believe Nicky Devlin should be in the Scotland squad.
Okay, there you go. Right, Kev, Ryan Kent, Dunny's hammy. Should he have started?
I think he would have started because they would have felt he was fit enough to start. Mm. But you've got to assess that.
He's not played for a while.
And the way he plays, he's fast, he's direct, so he's doing a lot of running. It's not as if he's just sitting in the midfield doing a McTominay side to side, right? Yeah.
We are clueless, aren't we?
Oh, no, we've got a clue. Here, so I wanted to actually ask you about that one weekend. Obviously, you've been in coaching and all that. See a player that hasn't played at that level when they've signed for somebody, would you have played him?
No, I wouldn't have played him. No, I'd brought him on for 20-30 minutes. Yeah. I don't even think he's played a reserve game, has he?
No.
I never played a lot for Liverpool pre-season. No, I wouldn't have played him. I'd have brought him on for 20-30 minutes.
I wouldn't have played him because I think the excitement of playing him, and there's a new £7 million.
It's got to be lift at the stands,
isn't it? Is that home? Was it the Armed Forces Day and stuff? Yeah. So it was a big deal. So the exciting bit, I think there would have been more excitement had Rangers been 2-1 up, or maybe one, if they're 1-0 down, then bringing them on, there would have been a bigger cheer, and maybe he would have. But then, who knows? I just think that it's one of these things. He could have came on as a sub, and he could have got injured after 20 minutes.
Yeah.
He just clearly wasn't right, and it's one of these things. But
see, I think sometimes things happen. I've always said I really like the boy, Barker.
So Barker's good, mate.
I really like Barker. I'm surprised he's not had a chance. Now, I don't know what was the case. Maybe he wasn't ready yet. I don't know. I certainly like the boy Barker. I think if you play him, you play Kent and him. I don't know, but I think Barker's left as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Left mid. But I think you could play him right. I believe that's a very dangerous free. They two and Morelos, I believe it's a very dangerous free side. And again, I believe Gerrard, I mean, he's obviously listened to the podcast because that's exactly what he'd done on Saturday.
You need to play with wingers, didn't you? Director of football, Mark Allen's left. Could that be an issue for Rangers in
what
the
was
future?
With that?
I'm don't know too much about him, eh?
No, I don't know, man. I've never heard. I googled him, but he's never had a football career, so I couldn't get any information.
So you're not interested?
No, I'm not interested, not one bit.
But what was?
See this director of football. How hard is it to go and pick players? To
I can't.
Rangers,
I don't know.
You've got a scout. A scout usually is the guy. He's either he's not your mate. He's somebody you've played with. Somebody who you trust. He'll come back with all the information. And basically, when if it's a 100% goer, you then make the bid. So Rangers got any problem signing any players? I don't think they will because. Yeah. The draw is Rangers. Ultimately, will always be that. If you don't want to sign for Rangers for whatever reason, then that's fine. But the draw of signing for somebody like Rangers and playing under the likes of Steven Gerrard, big club, big fan base. You don't need a director of football to attract players. I don't think.
Would you take the job, Sonny?
It would be great for me to get the job. So clearly, I've made a huge difference to the season already. But I said last week, so bring me in. See, Mark Allen, did Gerrard bring him in? No.
He was already there.
Was he from Liverpool though, originally? No.
Man City.
Yeah. So. No, Gerrard never brought him in.
No, but maybe that's a wee. But if it's not his man,
that must be the easiest job in football. See, like these Celtic and Rangers scouts that can't do it. How can you know?
How does that
just
happen?
Just go look at good players then.
I know what a job it is going about the world and watching players. Fantastic, Si.
But how? Like, obviously, I don't know Mark Allen. I don't even know the head of director of football.
I thought he was a snooker player.
Obviously, I've googled him and I don't. There's no like football history there. So how does he get that?
I know. How do you get the job? Is there a course?
Where did you start to get to go up the ladder to end up at Man City to end up at Rangers director? How does that happen?
I don't know honestly. I mean,
just get yourself a big Umbro jacket, innit?
And
look like a creep. Stands at the side of pitches on a Sunday.
So Stevie Frail.
No frills for Celtic on Saturday. 1-1 over Hamilton. Important just to win, Kev.
It was important just to get 3 points. I think the big eye was on the Thursday night Europa League, and the high of beating Rangers a few weeks back.
I thought he'd rotate the team a wee bit.
I thought he'd have put a few more in, but I think he was...
McGregor playing after the two Scotland games and Chapman on the bench.
The fact they scored so early, you were looking thinking, oh, here, it's going to be 4 or 5, but to be fair to Hamilton, Brian Rice said that he just said to his players he didn't want them not believing in themselves, and they came out and they gave it a go, but Celtic were obviously in total control. They'd like to have scored more goals, but the most important thing was 3 points, and that was it.
Selena, your two favourite people on fire, Forrest scores, and your man, Bolingoli.
Baby Bolingoli.
You're impressed, aren't you?
Class, eh? He actually does a tip.
Another guy that
we
slaughtered that's went on to DML.
But no, I watched, by the way, Hamilton could have actually ended up sneaking a goal. See, the last 10 minutes, they actually came into the game. The quality wasn't the best, but they certainly came into the game. I think, regardless of international, when it's international break, see that
just
game after just to get the win now. I know that's it's a throwaway comment, but I think it is just so important that you've not had the players there for 10 days or whatever. They've been playing 2 games, travelling. It's so important just to win. And both clubs who have most internationals away, Celtic and Rangers, won. So that's the most important thing, sir.
Wee Griffiths never even got in, did he?
What is the deal there?
The only thing is,
see, when you've been out a long time, right? I remember Alan Thompson said this to me. He went, Slaney, he went, so I came back from my cruciate ligament and I really was flying the first month. I was surprised. I was probably better than I'd ever been.
Did you think it was a chimp again?
I thought the chimp was actually in my side this time. And I couldn't believe it. But I said to Alan Thompson, I said, I've never played this good. And he went, Slaney, you're doing well, but there will become a dip soon, very soon. He went, because you're just back, your adrenaline's buzzing, you're just back. So you're buzzing to be back, but you're not at the same level as the rest of the players. They've been playing for the last year,
right,
and you've not been, so you will. So it did happen. Si, I came
it
back
lasted
to fly.
For 10 years.
And it lasted. That's brilliant. Tevez and then that, actually, it's no word to lie, I actually get a bit of buzz when somebody has a wee pop at me. I love it, and because I don't know the word pop, so I love pop in my face. But Griffiths, he's probably came back and he was flying through the summer and stuff, and he was playing the Champions League qualifier, Europa League qualifier, scored the free kick goal, and he was doing really well. He's probably now hit that wee lull, and Neil Lennon is very clever. He's not going to keep playing him because it makes your confidence worse, then people, the media and fans can get on his back. Just take him out. I hope that's the case. I think it will be, but maybe no. Sam,
Kev is a striker who needs a hair transplant as well. What's your take on it? Will he be ready?
I just think that Edward Celtic's number one.
Yeah, he's brilliant, isn't he?
So Lee Griffiths, top five in Lee Griffiths, isn't he going to displace Edward? But like Slaney goes back to about the being out injured or the being out whatever it is. When somebody said to me, when you're out injured for say a year, it'll take about a year for you to actually get back to where you think you belong. And I was thought, no, surely not. And I look back in the two main injuries I had in my career, and it probably did take like 18 months whatever to get back to feel like, oh, actually a footballer again, because you miss so much. Your body changes, your mindset changes. And Lee Griffiths, like you say, he went through the buzz of being back, and now he can't displace Edward, so he's probably now getting frustrated. He's maybe trying too hard. So maybe he just needs to just bide his time. And I'm not saying hope for something bad to happen to Edward, but there will be an opportunity come along at some point, and he's got to be ready to take it.
That year out, was that when you grew up the Bristol Cities?
Well, that was the fact they took 5 years out.
All right, Celtic and Rangers both play in Europe this week. Rangers play Feyenoord at Ibrox and Celtic play Rennes away. You think we can compete with their teams?
I think it might be a struggle for both.
Yes, it does.
I don't know. I just think it might be. I'm not too sure about either Feyenoord or Rennes, but I think it might be a struggle. I actually could see the results going anyway, but I'm not overly confident in both teams getting a good result there.
It's tough. These teams in Europe are good, aren't they?
I mean, we were talking about it last week. They just seem to I'll see it. I went when I was in Tenerife, and went to watch Tenerife, and they were in La Liga 2.
Did you?
No, that's never it. No, I remember. You actually knew I was lying there, eh? But see, I remember watching it. It was a Spanish team. I don't even know if it was a. But
oh my god, he's made an awesome.
See, technically, regardless of the division they're in, Jesus Christ, this fuck that was terrible, man. You caught me.
I went and watched Tenerife.
Right, no, so regardless on the games, I think, Si, form teams, even the lower divisions, they're very good technically. Very good technically. We were technically, and we were saying it.
He's gone.
I was saying it about fitness, Si, as well. Stronger stuff. I remember Mission Gladbach a couple of years ago at Celtic Park. They look great. So it'll be very tough, Si. It'll be very tough in the both teams.
Kev, will they get good results?
No, I think Rennes have obviously started the season very well, sitting second. I think they've
won.
Wow.
The French pundit. Shows your French frillies.
No, they've got 10 points out of 5 games, so they're sitting second, so they've started the season well.
Who's their manager, Kev?
Don't know. I've just live scored it there. They're sitting second. While you were talking shite.
By the way, I think you could be a joke with
this.
What about Feyenoord? Where are they sitting?
Feyenoord, fuck knows. I would say third. But there'll be a good Dutch union between Rangers and Feyenoord. Obviously Rangers just to a good Dutch coin.
Just to let everybody listening know, we actually went for a meeting last week and said we were going to be more serious.
Oh, brilliant, man. Right, we'll leave that. Hopefully they can both get good results. We're a Feyenoord.
Feyenoord are seventh.
Seventh, right, so.
And they're actually 6 points after off.
Brilliant, man. Oh, couldn't I write it right. Ian McCall, did you see this? This is brilliant, man.
I've never seen it.
Kev, do you see it? This is amazing. I love it.
Aye.
Do you know what? I know, again, a couple of guys that play with Aaron, they love Ian McCall, man. Supposedly in away games that he goes up and plays poker on the back of the bus with the boys, you know.
My brother-in-law plays with
Aaron. Oh, so he does Jamie Adams, isn't he? Does he like him?
I love him. Ian Character. McCall, I think, is his stepdad or his love child or something.
Nah,
so
he's done well for him, isn't he?
Every time Jamie is wanting a move, and every time Ian's had a job, Ian's put Jamie everywhere. So Jamie's got absolute maximum respect for him. I think it's because Ian McCall is just one of these down-to-earth guys that on a Saturday in the training takes everyone seriously but knows how to hear a joke with players. Treats men, grown men, like real men. And I think with that attitude, we're talking earlier about managers getting the sack. Why is this guy never got a chance?
A job ahead, I know.
Like in the higher leagues.
Yeah, I agree,
because
mate.
I always think he seems to do well when he goes. Like, Ayle, the last few seasons they've been in that championship, they've started so well and they've hung on and they've missed it in the playoffs.
Playoffs last year, didn't they?
Yeah, they've started. Yeah. This is a, well, I think we're like 50% of the team's part time and 50% is full time.
In the Championship, I think it's only Aldo and Arbroath now that are an air that are part time.
Aye, so like for what he's doing with a part time side, but Robbie Nielsen's coming out with that saying he's getting better coaching. I think that's disrespectful to other coaches.
Well, what makes him so good?
Aye, that's what
I mean.
Know,
he's brilliant, is it?
The only worrying thing for me with Ian McCall is he's starting to look like Danny Lennon's sister. Have you seen his hair or not? No, but I agree. I think Ian McCall's, we played him in League One. Ian McCall's the manager. He took him up for League One. Obviously, he's done great. I agree, Kev. I think he was done. You got done United. He was done United manager in the Premier League, wasn't he? That's he deserves another wee crack at the Premier League.
I don't like him.
Snide comments between managers and the media. Brilliant, isn't it?
I think it's good.
Uh-huh. Bit of personality, man.
That's what we want.
Character. We need that. We talk about that all the time here, don't go. It's characters. The game needs characters. You need to be able to say things. I think more so in Scotland. Like I think we're talking about Guardiola the weekend. Did he not say something like, congratulations, Liverpool?
You've won the league.
He says, for fuck's sake, we're in September. And it's true. So you kind of have a bit of banter between managers. But Robbie Nielsen's banter was horrific. Right? Because you don't disrespect another manager's coaching style. You keep that type of opinion to yourself.
But you're spot on, Kev. Like, who is he to say what he's doing is right?
That's right.
Ian McCall had Lauren Shankland as well, and it was what Ian McCall did.
Aye,
Lauren
Shankland
got him the move to Dundee United, because when Lauren Shankland left, was it Dunfermline?
Aberdeen.
He was on loan at Dunfermline, sorry. He left Aberdeen. It was Ian McCall that had to rejuvenate Lauren Shankland's career.
Yeah, that's
so
a great point.
Let's not beat about the bush here, Robbie.
Some tremendous points for you two young men today.
Honestly, he just needs to maybe pipe down a wee bit.
Right,
Robbie,
we're going to go down to England just quickly for the guy, Pookie. Well, Timo Pookie, Slaney, did you play with him at Celtic?
Yep, and wait till you see this, boys. Wait till you see this picture. I wish this was a live one so I could show everybody. Yesterday I was talking to him and Kenny McLean, and look at this guy. Look what the boy Pookie's done for us.
A can of Monster.
Oh, a can of Monster.
Look at that.
Superb. Timo Pookie with
so
a can of Monster.
So you got your pals with Sonia and Timo Pookie. Two
and Kenny McLean. Kenny McLean scored a great header at Pep. Deal with that, Pep. but again, it's great. And I was speaking to him yesterday, and I was talking about it. And
was he good at Celtic Slaney now?
It was alright, but I never felt he was going to do this. What he's done in England, it's been unbelievable, man. He's blown everything out of the water when you think if he didn't play with Celtic. I mean, if it was me and I was felt wasn't good enough for Celtic, I would have just kept going down and going down and going down, and which has absolutely happened. But he's just went the other way, and he looks absolutely brilliant. The boys say, and Kenny says, he's the most chilled out guy you'd ever meet. He's so relaxed, he loves his snus, and the most important thing, he's got an absolute world out as a Mrs. Sam.
Has he?
Yeah, so that's the most
important
thing.
Oh, I love him.
So he's going to go on to do great things. He might be a fantastic lad.
Is there a wee chance of you getting into Norwich today?
Well, me and Kenny are very tight, and Pookie the Freeze are very close. We've had many altercations, so I believe I will go down there. I really love Norwich's style.
Oh, mate, what about the way they play football, mate?
That's
tremendous, mate.
Passing out, and regarding Guardiola, that boy Rodri they signed, you'd have been better off signing Rodri Giggs.
Rodney Trotter.
Fucking Rodri.
Kev, is there a player that you played with that you thought was just alright and then couldn't believe the career he went off?
Conor Salmon.
Mate, we played Conor Salmon this year. He was the most bothered guy in the world, man. He was top man.
Was he?
He was just getting a laugh the whole game.
Like Salmon, eh?
No, I'm not.
No, be honest.
Fucking, I thought he was shite. No, I just.
Fair play him for it.
I don't dislike him. I just, when I was at Kilmarnock, Conor just seemed to be like a nervous wreck all the time. Don't get wrong, when Billy Brown and Jim Jeffries are abusing you 24/7, non-stop every day, it does take its toll on you. And he never quite was able to, because he had great attributes. He was fast, he was big. Couldn't he heed fucking a 50p, honestly. He was, his heading ability was nothing short of symbolical. But Mick Mixer came in and he scored 25, 30 goals before Christmas and away to, Wigan.
Yes.
And then he had a successful career down south. And then now he's come to Scotland.
Successful,
successful in terms of the fact that he got promoted to Wigan.
Oh, did he? Right, okay. So, was he in the Premiership?
Aye.
I saw he was.
That's the whole point of this conversation. too busy texting there with you and Slaney with your Timo Pookie. Friends!
What about you, Slaney? Anyone that You thought it was just all right. They went on.
I've got the perfect player, Jackson Irvine. He came to Celtic, and I remember his first training session. We all came out of the changing room, and we were gasping at each other, thinking, "What the hell is this boy? He's not a fitter player." And then as it time went on, I was like, "This guy's really good." But again, technically, no, you wouldn't say brilliant, but he's just got something about him. I think it's a lot of down to mentality side. He believes in himself, and I remember after Hibs game, Celtic played Hibs. And Lennon said, he came on, Jackson came on that day, and Lennon said, "My goodness, who the hell has been telling me you're good?" I mean, he had a nightmare that day, boy. But again, if a lot of players would just turn off and drop down the leagues, he went to Ross County, was brilliant there, and then just went up, and he's done superb. And then he was playing, he got offered $100,000 a week move to China, and he went, "No thanks, I want to play in the Premier League." That's the type of mentality that guy's got.
He's a chilled guy as well,
very chilled. He's in his Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. Now, that is sort of a lamp bell's ringing in my brain. He might not be all there, so move on for Jackson. Mine's
is Matt Ritchie, 100%. Matty at Swindon, like, see possessions that, but I used to say to Cano, "Did I put on my team, man?" He just gave the ball away all the time. But then, seeing a game, like, his left foot was magnificent, man. He just whip on his left foot and cross it or stick it in the stanch.
But there's certain places.
And see people that say hard work doesn't get you? Places, mate, does he?
A lot of noise.
He was the hardest working wee guy in the world, man.
Yeah, honestly,
he'd be out practicing all the time. You know, he'd be sitting in the pub, he'd be out practicing, and now he's in the Premier League.
See, like that, like, I would 100% say that when I went to Sunderland as a 17-year-old, I was ridiculed non-stop.
So you think people probably say this about you?
So that's fine, right? But out of that youth team that ridiculed me, who I was inferior to, because I thought they were all better than me, and that I was the one that went on and had a career at Sunderland while they all got released and fucked off and got jobs. So the whole hard work and their determination and drive, some people just have that and will stop at nothing to succeed, and that's just how it is. And these guys, Conor Salmon, Matt Ritchie, Jackson Irvine, they've probably all got that in them where it's maybe to prove a point, maybe not to themselves. Ultimately, you always want to prove to yourself that you're good enough, but they're obviously proving points.
Did you work hard then? See, you said you're touching that.
My touch was terrible, so I would. We're talking about you'd interviewed Lee Clark the other week, and on a Wednesday the youth team players would go to college. Well, I signed up with Sunderland later, so I couldn't go to the college. So I had to train with the first team, and I was like, I was so nervous every day. I was thinking, I'm not good enough to be training with these guys. And we'd do like one touch things, and like keeping the ball one touch, a volley over a net, and I'd be like to Clarkey, "Oh Clarkey, I can't do this." "Don't ever say you can't do this, son. We'll work on this and we'll get it." See, but like 3-4 weeks later, I was able to volley that ball back and forth. I just had to believe in myself. And then I'd go to Quinny and I'd say, "Look, Quinny, my touch is fucking, I can't do this, I can't do that." And it's just the advice they give you, and they tell you what to do. It's whether you listen to what they tell you and you do something about it. So every morning I came in at 8 o'clock and played head tennis every morning, stayed behind you 3-4 in the afternoon, played head tennis every day, and eventually I end up with a decent touch. And that's what it's just asking for advice, because these guys are where you want to be. So if you don't ask them, you'll never know.
Is there any players?
Because you worked hard this time.
No, but see, to be honest, I really did. I worked so hard, but when I came out of football and got my operation, my hip, and I came back with Ayr and Clyde, I didn't really.
What was the hardest week you worked at Amsterdam?
That was very tough. very tough, Si.
Did you go to the gym in that after training? I wish I'd done that, Mary.
That's the only bit I have. I was a big lad who could hold off 75 to 80% of the defenders I played against. But there was that 20% who were just far stronger than me.
I always stayed out 30, 40 minutes with a bot after everybody went in. But it was only so that, because the Windies at Lennox Town, it's the managers and they can look into the pitch. That's the only reason I did it, so they can see I was doing it. I was working in absolutely nothing. But so I see there, is there any players that we trained or seen and played with who were hopeless and then went on to be brilliant and they're still hopeless and you can't believe that they've actually done it? Trying to think of any players that annoy me, because that's the players that really really get to me. I struggle to watch them because I'm thinking they're earning thousands and millions here and they're still rubbish.
Nah.
Terrible question. Now, just before we end,
it's not a terrible question.
I'm never going to try to present all again.
Because in this modern football world, shite players are getting paid fortunes just because of the money that's in the game.
Here's a question, just to end the show.
Good.
Who's the only two players ever to play with Oh my god.
He's crumbled.
Who's the only two ever players to play with Ronaldo and Messi at club level?
Oh wow.
So no international. club level.
So it'll be somebody's played Real Madrid and Barcelona.
So Ronaldo and Messi, the two players have played with the both of them. Club level. We don't need to put this in, but we can just have a
Mascherano.
Nope. Never played with Ronaldo at club level. I don't know what you've been smoking last night.
Maxwell.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, go for it.
The two players are Gerard Pique at Man United and Barcelona, yes. And the other one is the King of Kings, Henrik Larsson. Sorry.
Oh, wow. Well done, Slaney. Great question. What a way to end the podcast. Right, lads, it's been a pleasure as always.
I've got to say, it's been my favourite podcast. It's been good. Not one, but a seriousness, and that's what I love.
We'll see you next week, you boys. See you.
See you.